All right, welcome to this evening's Eternal Flame News. I am your host, Jeremy Caverly.
I am Miranda Caverly.
This is going to be an investigative, journalistic approach to Eternal Flame News, a portion of our programming that you may not be used to seeing. This is something we do every now and then. Normally, it gets more into the biblical side of things. This is something here locally that many people have asked us our opinions about. We're going to talk about things, at least I will be covering the biblical sides of stuff and everything like that. And you're like, how's our biblical side in this? My official statement on what I feel, what's going on. But locally here in Chillicothe, Ohio, we've had an arrest, almost like an arrest, but a woman got pulled over and was allegedly using her middle finger, and apparently the chief of police is allegedly involved in this event where what occurred is he was coming out of Burger King and she just passed him and it almost caused an accident. And
we'll
find out later on what happened. There ended up being a ticket and another officer and some controversy as to exactly what has happened. So without further ado, here's some news from Miranda. I actually want to share with you guys. I'm pulling it up on screen. You can see it right here. Right here, right now, I'm going to get it going. The actual article on our local paper.
This happened, the incident happened last Wednesday. And our local newspaper reported it on last Saturday, which it's 6 days ago. What happened? As the Chillicothe Gazette reports, a woman was charged with disorderly conduct after a traffic incident during which she allegedly made an offensive gesture at the police chief. According to a Chillicothe police report, this is the report, this is not just somebody's opinion, this is what the police report says, Chief Roger Moore pulled out of the parking lot of a North Bridge Street restaurant in his unmarked vehicle and was almost hit by a southbound Chevrolet S10 at about 1:45 p.m. Wednesday. The woman, according to the report, honked her horn and made an obscene gesture at the chief. Moore stopped the woman and requested an officer to join him at the stop. The woman allegedly told the officer she was upset because Moore had pulled in front of her and she would have hit him if she hadn't been paying attention. The officer said he didn't see the incident but was concerned about the gesture, and as a result of the police officer being concerned of the gesture the woman gave the police chief, he gave her a citation for disorderly conduct / language / gestures. What this woman did was she flipped him the bird. Now, do I agree with flipping the bird? No. But it is in the First Amendment of our U.S. Constitution that we have freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Okay? She wasn't threatening him. Mm-hmm. He actually should have gotten the ticket because he was the one who almost caused the accident. Okay? But this woman was the one given the ticket. So, the Gazette posts this last Saturday.
Yes.
You would think, knowing this is going to go to court, knowing this is being put out in there and people are going to see this, you would think the police chief would want to be keep it quiet. Actually, no. The moment, basically, this article was posted on the Chillicothe Gazette, the first comment was by Police Chief Roger Moore. And his comment, that's not the comment.
This is one of the ones.
I want to read his main comment, first comment. It's there somewhere. Keep going. Maybe it's not there. It's on the... We'll go to the Facebook one. No, I think... I don't know.
Which one did you want? Because I have a few here.
Keep going down. I'll tell you when. That one. And I can't see it. I can't see to read it. But he posted this comment. He was the very first one to comment. Why would he do that? I kind of started feeling, that doesn't sound right. Not only did was he the first commenter on the article, but then Chief Moore goes on his Facebook page and then starts commenting about this whole incident. He writes a little more to the story. Traffic was stopped. So what he's saying in his side of the story is he had edged his way out into the traffic because the traffic was stopped. The traffic was backed up. So he edged his way out into the traffic. But when the traffic started to move, he was out in the road and the woman almost hit him. But he's saying it's kind of like it's the woman's fault because she just didn't let me pull out when I was already halfway out. Doesn't matter. You were in a parking lot, private parking lot. It was a Burger King. Turns out, also, he was not in an unmarked police vehicle. He was actually in his own private vehicle, and he was not even on duty. Okay? On top of that, when people start commenting on the article in the Chillicothe Gazette, almost every person that commented, whether good or bad, Chief Moore was on the Chillicothe Gazette responding almost to every comment, good or bad. If it was bad against him, he was ripping their butt. Like, and yes, an unmarked police car can pull you over for a traffic violation or other criminal actions. He says, I do not ever recall you posting anything positive about the police. This was his response to the comment above. Okay. He's saying, basically, he could pull somebody over anytime, anywhere. We'll see whether or not that is actually true. Continued comments were, I am hoping the timestamps of the Officer Moore's Facebook comments do not reflect that he was on duty at the time. Chief Moore then replies and said, it is Chief Moore, and I was on my time, but I have no problems communicating with the public anytime. So, Chief Moore is saying, if he's on duty and he's driving somewhere and he sees somebody's commenting here, he doesn't care if he's driving. That's what he's kind of insinuating. If he's on the clock, he's gonna get on his phone or wherever he's at and he's gonna comment. Mm-hmm. He also, he's just kind of almost being rude to people. People have a right to comment. That's why they allow comments. But like I said, every comment that somebody made, he had to respond. One person's comment was talking about him wearing hats. And Chief Moore's response was, don't wear hats much, and apparently you don't know me. Thanks anyway for the sarcasm. Why is a police officer, the head of our police force in Chillicothe, Ohio, making comments like this, knowing that that this whole thing hasn't even gone to court yet? Okay, then he also goes on in response to a man named Alan saying, read the rest of the story I posted. In the future, you might think twice before you publicly ridicule someone for their actions. I tell my officers that our job is not to arrest or give tickets. Our job is to enforce the law, which normally should be warnings. Some violations do not receive warnings. I am a firm believer that the public is my boss and that should be the approach officers take when in contact with the public. Don't mistake what I'm saying. If the situation needs a citation, so be it. I, in large, in like kind of yelling, all caps, I tried to talk to her and give her warnings. Her hostile conduct resulted in a citation for disorderly conduct. Then right after he boasted that comment, he then commented and said, and one more thing, my officers have no need to suck up. They all know I care for each in every one of them, the officer was doing his job by backing up a fellow officer. I am the chief. If you have issues with me, with my conduct, you take it to me. Obviously, I am easy to reach. These officers take enough verbal abuse and ridicule day to day. I mean, it just goes on and on. I'm not going to talk about that one. But then, and the final one that he wrote, a woman named Mitzi had commented, and his response to her comment was, let me know what laws you want enforced. Well, Chief Moore, shouldn't you be enforcing all the laws? Not just what laws? certain people want enforced. I mean, it really sounded... He really, in my opinion, dug himself a hole, and people were coming to us. Even our neighbors were... neighbors around Chillicothe. I mean, there were so many comments on this one article that the ACLU even... someone that is... connected with the ACLU took notice. Now, let me give you a little tidbit why the ACLU is checking out Chillicothe, Ohio. Because Chillicothe, Ohio was in the national news recently because a homosexual student at one of the Chillicothe schools here was severely beaten and bullied, and no one did anything to help him. So the ACLU stepped in. And now because of that, Chillicothe, Ohio is on the map. So... a man who is connected somehow with the ACLU wrote...
no, we can't 100% verify this guy.
No, we can't. But his comments... I want you to share. I don't want you to share this one. I want you to share the one where he says the person, their rights were violated.
I think those are the ones that say that. Yeah, it's both of them.
Okay. Well, in the two comments, basically, this guy who says he's connected with the ACLU, he comments throughout the article and different comments that were posted, even talking to Chief Moore on his own Facebook page saying, you seem to be in violation of her constitutional rights for free speech. She didn't threaten you. She didn't harm you. She simply gave you a gesture. Same gesture a lot of people get when they're driving. Now, if it is wrong, if it is a crime to flip somebody the bird, I don't agree with it, but we do have rights in this country, and we have freedom of expression and freedom of speech. However, if in Chillicothe, Ohio, you are allowed to be ticketed for disorderly conduct for flipping anybody the bird, I say everybody that comes to Chillicothe, Ohio, if so you see somebody flipping you the bird, call the police and say, I want this person ticketed. They need to be ticketed because they just threatened me. And I also was sitting here thinking, if my husband, if anybody's husband or wife is flipping their spouse in their private home the bird in an argument, and that's considered disorderly conduct out in the public, then in your home it would be considered domestic violence. So then you have a case to call the police. That's how ridiculous this is. On top of it, he was not in a marked car. He was in his own private vehicle, which he lied about. It was revealed that he was in his own private vehicle. He was not on duty. So he couldn't even give her the ticket. He had to call for somebody to back her up. I'll tell you right now, if somebody was trying to pull me over in an unmarked vehicle with nothing, you know, just look like a regular vehicle, I would be calling the police saying, someone's following me, help me, I'm scared. You know, pretending to be a police officer. That's my first instinct. Now, we're going to go to where the police chief said he could pull anybody over at any time, you know, in any, you know, basically, in any unmarked vehicle. Well, If Jeremy goes down to the very last ones, that's where they're at. Keep going down. Okay. There. So someone commented on the article yesterday, and they actually found some laws about marking and equipment for motor vehicle used by traffic enforcement officers. And if you go to codes.ohio.gov/ORC/4549.13, you will see that in Ohio, any motor vehicle used by a member of the state highway patrol or by any other peace officer, which this includes the Chillicothe Police Department, this is specifically for Ohio, by the way, While said officer is on duty for the exclusive or main purpose of enforcing the motor vehicle or traffic laws of the state. Now, it says right here in the law that a police officer or state highway patrol person can only pull over a person in an unmarked vehicle if they are on duty. Then it says, provided the offense, they can pull over anybody as long as the vehicle, they're on duty. Provided the offense is punishable as a misdemeanor, the vehicle shall be marked in some distinctive manner or color and shall be equipped with, but need not necessarily have an operation at all times. It just has to have a distinctive marking that it is an unmarked police vehicle. And the marking can be, like I said, color or oscillating, flashing, or rotating colored light mounted outside on top of the vehicle. Not necessarily having to be on if they're, you know, on duty or if they're going to enforce, but it has to be there. The superintendent of the Highway Patrol shall specify what constitutes as a distinctive marking or color for the State Highway Patrol. So I hate to tell you, but with this rule and this law, what Chief Moore did was wrong. He was in a private vehicle, he was not on duty, and he pulled a woman over, called another police officer to give her a citation for an offensive gesture. That is protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution. And why we're stressing freedom of speech with this is because there have been other cases over the past few years, even just last year, exactly like this, but the officers were actually in uniform and on duty when this happened to them. And it was still thrown out of court. So, we go to... Where's this at? Which one am I looking at?
This one you're looking at.
The Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, yes.
Okay, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette posted on...
3/15/2012.
That was March 15th, 2012. Memo to cops everywhere. You can't cite someone for giving you the finger. Now, this is in Pittsburgh. That's essentially what a federal judge ruled yesterday when he said a city police sergeant was wrong to cite a Regent Square man for flipping him off in traffic 3 years ago. Took 3 years to get this in the court. U.S. Judge, District Judge David Sircone granted summary judgment to David Hackbar, who said in a federal suit that Sergeant Brian Ellidge violated his constitutional rights by issuing him a citation in 2006. Ellidge's response to Hackbar's exercise of his First Amendment right was to initiate a traffic stop and issue a citation for disorderly conduct. Wow, same exact citation the woman here in Chillicothe received. The judge wrote, clearly Ellidge's conduct was an adverse action in response to Hackbart's flipping him off. The case will now proceed to trial in U.S. District Court on the underlying claim that the city doesn't adequately train its officers to know when they're violating someone's rights. So, Pittsburgh, no citations for giving the finger to police, says judge. They threw the case out. Then we go to Baldwin, Missouri. And Baldwin, Missouri, just February 28, 2012, this article came out, entitled Flipping the Bird Law After Man Given Ticket for Flipping Off Another Officer Says It Violated His First Amendment Rights. In Baldwin, Missouri, the city of Baldwin is backing down, repealing an ordinance that led to a charge against a man accused of giving another motorist the finger in traffic. City Administrator Robert Kuntz says the officer who issued a ticket of extending a body part out the window was using a law that originally sought to prevent people from sticking their feet out the window. Ultimately, I guess freedom of speech and expression, and now an operator handles himself, and how an operator handles himself is that person's business, as long as he's safe and not government, and not go. I can't read it, Jeremy. and not governments, Kuntz said. I think it's Kuntz. And the American Civil, the ACLU of Eastern Missouri, which had, I can't read it, you went too far, which had threatened Baldwin, Missouri, with legal action, applauded the decision. The ordinance allowed police officers the discretion to haul into court citizens who expressed a viewpoint with which the officers disagreed, said Brenda Jones, executive director of the ACLU of Eastern Missouri. Repealing the law fits within our nation's finest traditions of allowing free expression without fear of arrest. So, and we have one more article about that. I mean, I found three. I think there's more out there, but I found three. This one, I saved this one for last because driver paid after he flipped off cop. And this was posted in 2010 in Olathe. An Overland Park man who flashed an obscene gesture at an Olathe police officer after getting a traffic ticket is getting rewarded for his behavior. The city of Olathe has settled a civil rights complaint filed by Scott Shaper of Overland Park. He was ticketed in September for disorderly conduct for flipping off an officer who had given him a ticket for running a stop sign. The city of Olathe last week agreed that its insurance company would pay Shaper, this is how much this guy's going to get paid, $4,000, and another $1,000 was to be paid to the American Civil Liberties Union. The ACLU is getting paid $1,000 of Kansas and Western Missouri. Olathe police also must train its officers. They are required to take such, its officers, they are required to take such verbal abuse. The Kansas City Star reported Doug Bonney, legal director of the ACLU chapter, said Shaper reacted angrily because the traffic stop made his children cry. So this officer was in uniform in a marked police car, and this guy flips him the bird. Was it right? In most people's opinion, no, but he has freedom of speech. So let's go back to Chillicothe, Ohio. After hearing about different stories that have happened in the past few years, in the past, just this year and last year and 2010, I'm a little worried about what's happening and where we live right now. If the police chief is this cocky about getting on Facebook, making comments to people about an article about him, and being cocky enough to say, I have the right to pull anybody over for doing this to me, even if I'm not on duty, I'm not in a marked police car, that's scary. And in our opinion, that is abuse of your power. And as you've seen proof in past articles, in past situations that this happened to, the cases were thrown out. Now, today was the initial hearing for this. For this ticket,
we have,
this woman received.
And we have a group of people that assist us with this investigation, local and countrywide or U.S.-wide, people from legal teams to other media to social media people and lawyers, so on and whatnot. So anyway, today, the hearing, as you call it, happened today. Her attorney pleaded her to be not guilty, and they're going to go in the direction of a civil trial against Chief Moore himself because of these past stories and the possibility of the ACLU getting involved, because the last thing that anyone wants,
especially
the city getting sued.
Especially the city of Chillicothe.
That's
they don't want to be sued.
These past stories and other stories like them have happened. The individual and the city got sued, and the city had to foot the bill for everything. So, there's going to be a trial, no plea bargains, and the attorney has placed a gag order. Now, my understanding of this gag order is that the woman involved in this case can no longer talk to anyone about this. There won't be any more media other than what we just said. That was a public record. You can go right into the courtroom when that happened. Me sharing this is not breaking the law because I'm not revealing anyone's information.
And I would
we're
also...
We're not defaming anybody.
No. We're giving you the facts.
These are the facts. These facts and allegations connect to the facts because unfortunately we do live in a world where your Facebook comments... Your MySpace comments, your Twitter comments are now being used in a court of law.
Which, it's public record.
Because that's public record. And we were asked what we thought, so we gathered the information for you to allow you, the viewers, to make a choice personally what you think is going to happen. I honestly don't know. This could be completely thrown out. You know, he could apologize and, you know, everything's fine.
The
ticket to the woman could stay. It could be removed. There's hundreds of possibilities here because we need more facts. We need witnesses on scene.
Yep. We need video.
From Burger King.
Where's
possible
the video?
Video from other businesses, so on and so forth, just to see what's going to happen next.
But also, this has got a lot of citizens here in Chillicothe upset. Let me explain to you what has been happening in Chillicothe. First off, we got a new mayor. And after the mayor was here, he uncovered a lot of things happening. And one of the first things that happened was the fire chief was fired for just not basically not doing his job.
There were cans of fire retardant or something that were expired. And the chief of the fire department, I know this from being the Coast Guardman, because I had to understand fire safety and went through the fire training myself. One of the things you always have to do with all extinguishers and any forms of retardant and things used to put out flames is they are categorically logged and they're categorically numbered on dates of when expiration shall occur.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's never been used, it has to be replaced or inspected for safety.
Well, and they were expired. But there was other things besides that was wrong with the fire stations and different things, and that had not been taken care of in years. And there was a lot of shady things going on, basically. I mean, I can't really say because that's hearsay. But the fact is, clearly when somebody doesn't do their job right and isn't doing their job to the extent they're supposed to be, they're fired. And that's what happened with the fire chief. Then, after that, a former Chillicothe, Ohio police officer was arraigned on charges of sexual conduct with a minor while he was a police officer. Mm-hmm. That case is now in court. The hearing is going on right now. Then, that was just, you know, a couple weeks ago. That hearing started for this former Chillicothe police officer having sexual relationships with a minor. Now we have the Chillicothe police chief in the news, in his own vehicle, not marked, off duty, and he pulls someone over and gets them a ticket written because they give him a gesture he doesn't like when he nearly calls an accident. That's what the initial report says. He pulled out, she nearly hit him. She had the right of way, he did not. So, there's a lot of, it's looking, and let me tell you something, Chillicothe, Ohio has been in the state news for so many wrong reasons. We have huge drug problem here. We have corrupt city officials. We've got so much stuff going on here, it's spinning our heads. And the citizens of Chillicothe are getting tired of it. And let me tell you, they express themselves in the comments of this article. And you got to hear how upset people are. Some were for Chief Moore. Why? I don't understand, other than they just don't like that gesture either, like I wouldn't. But as an American citizen, you have rights that other countries don't allow you. In other countries, you may not be able to give that gesture. You could be arrested for it, in prison for so many years. But here, it is sacred underneath our First Amendment rights. It is protected. And the point is, if we didn't talk about this, who would?
And who that's would? The point. I've looked at the Gazette and I've looked at other places. I do not believe, this is my personal opinion, I'm curious, when will the follow-up story for this occur?
Mm-hmm.
Look how quickly we gathered this information, got the information for what actually happened this morning, and we're giving it to you on air tonight. It is 7:31 p.m., June 1st, 2012.
Yep.
Where's everybody else?
Well, I will say this. Channel 10 News in Columbus, the state capital news, they got a hold of this just a few days ago. But mm-hmm. they talked about it on the news. But mm-hmm. so far, there hasn't been anything else.
Exactly.
Just like, you know. But initially, we want to bring you what is happening, because this is where we live. This is not just in some other state like these other articles were. This happened right here where we're at. And if the police chief is allowed to drive around and just pull anybody over for anything, I'm afraid to get into the city limits myself. People are so upset about this, they are actually writing letters, writing emails, writing private messages on Facebook to the mayor himself, asking, what are you going to do? Please, do something. City council. I mean, people are really getting upset about this, because if he's going to do this, what else will he do? Like he said, what laws do you want me to enforce in that one comment? He should be enforcing all of them. But if he's asking a private citizen, what laws do you want me to enforce, that's a little scary.
No, I have to give this about more. We only know what you see in these comments.
We see in these comments.
We don't know what he does every day. We don't know how he deals with his other employees. But the problem is,
you don't do this on a public forum.
You know, I have disputes with people all the time. It could be someone who's not a Christian to someone who's a Christian who's sliding in their faith. Could be a liberal, can be a conservative, could be another denomination, the same church, whatever. I've had disputes with people, but I don't plaster everything online, so then somebody
can
come back and
talk about it. And the point is, if the police chief is innocent, let the court deal with it. Don't get on a public forum and start running your mouth. The woman that this happened to, she's hiding out. She's not commenting. She's not doing what Chief Moore is doing.
She's doing exactly what a lawyer would tell you. Now,
and I believe that's what the lawyer
you got to realize, I represented myself in court when I took my stepfather to court for assault. And that was what was happening. He was threatening my mother, running his mouth, doing all sorts of stuff. We had a lot of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the point here. If you want to protect yourself, I don't care if you're right, you're wrong, you're innocent, you're guilty. You don't do anything to cause more evidence. Stop talking.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. Don't come after me and Miranda. You're just going to make more problems.
We're just reporting the facts.
We are not doing hearsay. We are reporting the facts. As a minister, I am praying for you, Chief Moore, and I'm praying for the family of this woman that had this happen, because I don't like this to go in the news. I don't like to have to talk about these things. We're talking about this because people wanted to know what's going on. This is all we know. I pray for the police, because I know things are getting deadly out there, and it's getting worse. The sex trafficking, the drugs, the violence, the rape, the molestations, everything is worse, and you don't have enough funds, and you don't have enough people, and you're stressed out of your head. I also know, Mr. Moore, the loss of your wife is very dear to you at this time. And I'm sorry that has happened, and I'm sorry this event has happened. I'm sorry that we're having to talk about this. I'm hoping this can be readily fixed and things can be done right to justice in the right way and just go on from there. That's what I'm hoping. So now we're going to transition over to what I call the big chomp. The big squeeze.
We're not doing a lot of different articles. We're really focusing on two topics.
We got two topics, and that took 34 minutes. Now everybody's talking about...
But we talked about a lot of different articles, but... We are talking about what everybody's calling the zombie apocalypse that is happening in America.
Exactly. So check this
People
out.
People turning to cannibalism.
Check this out. We have Alexander Kenina ate Kajui Adil Kadoi's brain and heart in Maryland, the cops are saying. Now, we have this weird, crazy story in Maryland where people are talking about eating brains and hearts. And this is just one of the most recently. Apparently, this 21-year-old guy admits to murdering his roommate and that he's been missing since last Friday, and he ate this guy. They said they found remains of a head and two hands and a metal tin in a basement. Metal tin in a basement. Which is
his
even,
brother found
which
it.
Which is even more creepy. Then we also go to the dude that was 31. Actually, let me back up. Let me go to the doctor in Florida.
Florida.
There's a video, and I'm not going to play it because it's really violent, but you can see here, get prepared. This cop, for whatever reason, was on drugs or something, okay? And he starts banging his head.
Not the cop, it was the doctor.
No, not the cop, I mean the doctor. The doctor, he starts banging his head violently into the police. Like, oh, I got blood on me, what's going on? So we got these two, and then he starts spitting this blood on people. What in the world? I mean, you would think this is a random incident. No, I got a third one for you. Here, this gets even more creepy. They recognized Rudy Eugene being identified as the Miami man. There's two naked people that he chewed on this dude's face.
Chewed his face down to the bone.
To the bone and the eyes and all stuff. Now, apparently...
He chewed his eyes, his nose, his mouth, and all that... they say all that was left was his goatee.
Now apparently, with this story, with Rudy Eugene in Miami...
and this was initially the story that started all this going.
8 times since age 16, a battery charge, and 4 instances of marijuana. There's speculation that bath salts. Now, the reason why we made this an Ohio special is because bath salts are a really big deal here in Ohio. And medically, what happened, and the bath salts aren't Epsom salt. For those viewers who are quite interesting, wanting to know, Epsom salt is not the same thing. This is a special kind of other type of salt, and it's apparently ground up and snorted and put in and whatever. What happens
it's
is
it's a synthetic drug.
It changes your outcome and your mind and how you think and what you're actually doing. And what goes on in your body is it transforms how your brain processes and everything. And when you get to this high level of toxation, it just completely radically transforms your mind. I mean, one of the things I remember my grandma having, she had these little bath salts that were like in a jelly case and they bust open and melt and dissolve. But
that's not what we're talking about. And bath salts in some states are legal.
Illegal.
Legal. They are legal in some states.
Yes. Yeah. Some states will allow you to have these bath salts.
But more and more they're trying to outlaw them.
One of the most interesting
But to be honest, they said they won't know what this guy was on that ate the guy's face until they do the autopsy for sure. But they know that he was on drugs. And, you know, Christians, especially, they believe demonic oppression was a big part, too. They think he was demon-possessed. Well, if you're on something and it's taking over your body, then you're possessed some way with something besides your normal way of thinking. As Bill Cosby was talking about, people on drugs said, people on normal air don't worry about things that people that are on drugs think about. Said, you just don't do stuff like that. People on normal air just don't worry about things like that. But let's go to, and
so,
we have
so
one
what,
more.
Here, no, here's the thing. I got two more.
You got two more?
So here's the thing. One of them's related to the other story. His girlfriend, the guy in my the one of the stories, said, I believe this is voodoo.
The guy that ate the guy's face.
I believe
that's
this is voodoo. I believe this person is possessed by a
curse.
A shaman person that did the wiki wiki wiki, whatever you want to call it stuff. And now I got you another one. Homeless woman snatches baby from stroller, tries to eat baby arm. Is it the baby's arm?
Yes.
Or the mother's arm?
The baby's arm. And this was just posted, last year.
This is last year. So, honestly.
But see, even
this
before
stuff has
then,
been
but
going
before
on
then,
for
in the late 80s, we had Jeffrey Dahmer. That was the biggest case that was out there in the late 80s, was Jeffrey Dahmer. Killed all these people, chopped them up, put them in his freezer, and ate them. He was sentenced to life in prison, and someone ended up killing him in prison. But
and honestly, all these stories...
This cannibalism has been going on since ancient times. That's the point.
It's not something new. What happens is, in the brain, is your brain, your toxins, endorphins, and everything, they get overwhelmed, and you just get to this point of euphoria and manic mode where reality shifts for the individual who wants to eat the person, and something triggers inside of your brain, whether it's stress, it could be because of that homeless person, you know, worrying about getting a job, it could be a bad marriage, it could be something traumatic could cause this, it could be finances, or it could be the influence of drugs.
But majority of the time, it has been drugs, majority of the time. However, people that have turned to cannibalism, like Jeffrey Dahmer, it wasn't drugs. He wasn't on drugs. He was just crazy. Another story that you didn't look up was a woman killed her baby.
Yeah,
ate their baby's and ate the child's brains. She is now. I read in the. I don't know if Jeremy found that article.
You talking about this Maryland, the heart and the brain? I don't know about that one.
No, that's not it.
I don't have that one.
This isn't it. But the reason I'm saying this is because the woman that did this to her own baby, she's now in a mental institution for the rest of her life.
And it's
clearly, I believe it has to do with mental illness, or as some Christians call mental illness, demon possession, or oppression. They can cause that. But what we're going to just say mental illness. The general public thinks of mental illness and drug abuse. I believe those are the two biggest reasons.
Now here
why
I'm going to let me elaborate on differentiations between a mental illness and a demonic possession, because I can do that.
Okay.
I
was just saying it for the
normal average person. All forms, and here's the thing, there's two things. There's demonic possession, which means completely takes over everything. There's no sign of who that person is. It's not a multi-personality. It's not a dissociative disorder. It's not any of that kind of stuff. Also, you can have oppression, which, you know, I believe every single Christian, whether, you know, this is the big theological debate. Here's your question for you, and I'll answer it from our point of view. Can a Christian become possessed or oppressed once they get saved? That's the theological question. Can a Christian, once saved, get possessed or oppressed? Simple question. Yes, they can. But the problem is with that answer is no, they can't at the same time. You know, once you get saved, it's really, the whole time, it's about this key phrase, free will. We make the choices of our lives. You know, when you're not saved, the Bible's really clear that, you know, you're normally living for the world. Because you're not living for Christ, you're going to end up probably in hell. And you may be a good person on earth, you'll do a lot of great works, you'll do a lot of good things, but your soul inside of your body will not live forever in paradise in heaven. That is a simple belief of Christianity. So, when it comes to something like this story, do we believe that all these people were demonically possessed? I would have to have more information on that, because honestly, if it's something demonically possessed, these demons don't normally hide around. Now, I believe, just like when you take a glass of water and you put one little droplet of oil, I believe we all have sin, and whatever was going on in those guys' lives, you know, I don't believe them going that far was, I'm not saying going that far is all their fault, but something triggered them. It could have been somebody else, you know, like picking on them, or something they have ingested. If you transform your human body, which is known as the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's what the New Testament talks about. When you allow your body to ingest things that make your body act abnormal, meaning acting different than what it should have been in the first place, then you are setting yourself up to do something stupid. Plain and simple. So the demonic part is this temptation to want to ingest this pen.
Okay?
So you ingested the pen. You know, now it's inside of you. I know you can't see the pen, but I'm holding on to it. Now you've allowed this thing inside of you to do whatever it can capable do. And you keep saying you become addicted to it. And you'll keep going and changing your level of tolerances and so many different things and so on and so forth. To where it finally destroys your body cells. So there are actual physical, concrete, medical proof that drugs can afflict your body and cause you to mentally do things that are not normal. It can cause your cells to degenerate. It can cause you to vomit and have excess gas and pass out and not wake up and die. Or like my mother, she had hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. I know not everything, we don't know how the hepatitis, but because of her drinking and still drinking and not stopping, it killed her. Went to a coma, bled to death, all that kind of nasty junk. So, I honestly believe there's a fine line between possession and mental illness. I believe there are times that people are born, you know, like with Down syndrome and so many other different things, and God allows this to happen, not because that person necessarily did something wrong or this person had something wrong with them. There are cases where people are born, especially here in Ohio, we've had an influx increase of crack babies. And they're born addicted to heroin and crack and all meth. Kinds of drugs, meth, and their body structure, because of that, they have to give them meth in the hospital and have them wean off it. If not, they would die. This is what's so sad about this world now that we live in.
But what we also got to realize as Christians, when people say, I can't believe this is happening, well, why not? It says right there in the Bible, you know, things like this happened before in Sodom and Gomorrah, in Noah's time, and it says in Revelation, the world will just get worse and worse. People's hearts will be waxed worse and worse. People will become evil and give themselves over to evil spirits and evil, and to become lovers of themselves. And Jesus said, just keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. Don't put blinders on your eyes. Be aware of what's happening, because when you see these things happening, that means the time is growing shorter and shorter, and he will be returning.
And I got to talk about mental illness before that little segue happened. Because this is something everyone keeps asking me. I honestly believe, there again, it's not necessarily a sin or demonic thing, because a lot of times God wants to use somebody that's weak, that has something wrong, whether it's a physical impairment, you know, an eye, a leg, a mental thing. A mental illness means that something in your chemical balance in your brain is off kilter. So if you're not one of those extreme cases where you need excess heavy medication, you need excess heavy counseling or overnight psychiatric stays on long periods of time, normally Christ can transform who you are. And yes, Christ can reach anyone. He can reach someone that's stuck in the psychiatric ward. He can reach these people that want to go and chew on other people's bodies and whatnot. So I believe there's a fine line about saying, you know, do we know this is demonic possession? It's not. But it shows the signs of demonic possession, because who eats people? See, when like she said, like Miranda just said about being lovers of the world, you give into the temptation of things of the world. But I'm talking about the evil side of the world. You know, drugs, all, as I said before, alter who you are and what you're doing. For those listeners out there that are involved with bath salts and all this drug crack and everything, you need to get out of these kinds of things. You need to stop doing them. Go seek a rehab. Go seek Christians, that Christian counselors and ministries that can honestly help you. I know there's a bunch of fakes out there, and those that'll just say, well, you're demonically possessed and want to cast out the demons, and that's all they want to do. That's not the way to do it. This is going to take some time for some of you. Some of you, it can be an instantaneous, just like that process. It's done, sealed, delivered, you're healed. Others, it's a yearly process. You've got to sit here and resist the temptation, because that's what the Bible is all about right now. It's resist the temptation from the devil, and he will flee. I know many people want to argue with me on that. Well, that person's this way, they're going to fall down. Well, you fall down, get back up.
It doesn't say in the Bible that once you're saved, you'll never be tempted. Nothing's ever going to happen. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. If Jesus was tempted for 40 days, Jesus was not even exempted from being tempted. Didn't mean he sinned, he gave in to the temptation, but we all will be tempted to do things that are wrong in this world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world of chaos, discord. I mean, when people are giving over, that's why missionaries went to the islands in the Pacific, because they were cannibals. Mm-hmm. They wanted to reach them and say, this isn't what, there's a better way to live. It's dangerous. They say, medically, it is dangerous to eat a human brain. It can actually really hurt you. Physically, and cause you to be very sick, could possibly even kill you. So there are dangers of eating people. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have to remember that there were, back in the 70s, when the plane crashed in the Andes, the soccer team did turn to cannibalism to survive, but these people were dead, and they had nothing else to eat. They were stuck on this mountain for 72 days.
And as cold as some of the bodies were, you know, it was a lot different than eating a room temperatured.
They weren't murdering people. They were trying to survive.
They ate bodies that were already decomposing.
Well, they weren't decomposed because of the fact they were frozen.
So freezing cold. So it's a lot different. Yeah, a frozen cold body versus a room temperature body, it's a whole different. But still, you know, unless you're in a weird situation
like
that.
The point I'm trying to make is they didn't kill them.
No.
They died in the plane crash. And now, if they hadn't have done what they did, they would have died themselves.
Exactly.
So, we gotta take into effect, if you were in that situation, what would you do? Would you just starve to death? Would you just die? Or would you live?
Hmm.
So, I mean, it. But to turn to cannibalism because you were on drugs and just literally kill somebody and eat them because you just lost your ever-loving mind, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. And that's what people did in ancient times. It was a form of sacrifice to their gods in some ways. They did this to children. They did it to people that were marked for sacrifices, and they would ingest them. Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible, it says, as in the time of Noah, as in, you know, as now. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And what we have to remember is when things like this come about, it is frightening. Mm-hmm. Because if this keeps going on, who could be next? I think that's the big thing people are thinking. Oh, my Lord.
But as you see, the pattern has been some form of either mental illness
or
drug-related instances. Now, that doesn't mean going to mass hysteria because you know this person is drugs or mental illness. Here's what I want you to do this evening. I want you to pray for Chief Moore. This is the end of our program. Here's where I'm going to tell you what I would like for our viewers to do this evening. I want you to pray for Chief Moore and his family. I want you to pray for the city police in the city of Chillicothe, Ohio, that people will be comforted and healed, and justice can be served, and Christ can reign within our city. Not saying that it doesn't already, but with this sensitive information we have given you, I realize that we need to pray. We also need to pray for the woman affected in this trial and every trial. This is something I've done, you know, is to pray for people and pray for things that have happened, because when you allow the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you to pray and pray for others, whether it's your friend or your enemy, I don't care. You pray for them. You pray for your leaders. You pray for your nation, regardless of what viewpoint you see them. I want you to pray for everyone who has any form of mental illness. Mental illness is a very big thing in America. Millions of people are affected with some form of mental illness. And I know very many people with mental illness have talked to me in this last 48 hours that they're petrified. Is this going to happen to me?
Yeah.
I know many people who are addicted to various styles of drugs and prescription drugs. I'm asking that you pray for those afflicted by addictions. Any kind of addictions. I don't care if it's drugs, pornography, whatever. I need you to pray. And when I say I need you to pray, let me be a little more specific, because we did this program on prayer, so I'm going to tell you what to pray for. I want you to pray for their health. I want you to pray for their loved ones, for their protection, for them to have joy and peace in their life. Pray that if their mental illness or their finances or their schoolwork or whatever it is that's in their lives that tends to attack them or hold them back, that Christ will be there in their midst, giving open a way for some peace of mind. Asking that you pray that people of Christians can come into these people's lives and show them love beyond anything they've never seen before. We also want to ask you to pray for those that might be involved on the other side, that are breaking the law, that are connected to these different kinds of things, like the police officer, the crimes, or mental illness people, and the law enforcement. I ask you pray for those that want to commit crime. That, you know, Christ will come into their life and give them another opportunity. And I guarantee some of you out there, If it's one of those crimes about needing to eat or something to drink, that's your cue to help them, because some of these people, when they're down at the bottom, they will steal. We need to pray for the families affected by these, as you know, they're probably horrified. We're calling it zombie apocalypse. You know, the last thing you want to be able to do is tell your parents and your grandparents, your grandkids, whatever, your daddy was eaten by a zombie. I'm like, you know, I don't think they're going to say that. That's not too funny. So I'm asking that you pray for all these people, and I'm asking specifically on how you can pray. Now, the next thing is the most challenging thing that I'm going to ask you to do. If you see a police officer and you're not in a car where you can do this, like I'm talking about in a store, and say, excuse me, ma'am, I want to shake your hand. Thank you for serving our community. I challenge you today, every fire department, every police officer, every veteran, every medical person, whether it's a nurse or a doctor, and even a lawyer, I challenge you to stop them and shake their hand and say, thank you for serving our community. I want to pause for a moment and say, thank you, Chief Moore and City of Chillicothe Police and Fire, for serving our community. Because you have been here time and time again when who else would have? And your tireless efforts and the work that you have done is not in vain. And I salute you. I also want you that, you know, if you see someone who has mental illness and you know it, I don't want you to necessarily say, oh, poor baby's got mental illness. I want you to serve them. That's what this comes down to. The ending of this program is I'm challenging you to be a servant to your community. To be a servant to your fellow man, as they say. Your brother, sister, mother, uncle, cousin, nephew, whatever. I'm asking that you show love and kindness to whomever you see. You know, the Bible talks about praying for enemies. I'm taking it a step further. Why not serve your enemies? The Bible, as we talked about last week, talks about showing love upon enemies is like lumps of coal. And I know some of these guys are going to get mad. Some of them are going to get embarrassed. Some of them are going to freak out. But you know what? If you're truly honest with how you're going to act, then they'll know it's true. I have an example. There was a guy sweeping the floor in the bathroom, and I heard it. I opened the bathroom door at the college, and I told him, thank you for all your hard work. He looked at me like, what? Do you need to use the bathroom? I said, no, I opened this door to tell you thank you. And the reason why I'm sharing you this is because I'm not afraid to do it either. And I've done it many times. You know, I've done it from the local cable guy that's come in to some law enforcement and others. If you want to fix your community, you have to be a part of your community. You can sit here and gossip all day long and sit here and make all your opinions on all the information that we just gave you. If you want to radically transform your nation for Jesus Christ, you need to sit here and be able to do these things.
And also, the key factor is love and forgiveness.
Yep. So I'm asking for those of you.
Because if Jesus could go and forgive us and die on that cross for us, I mean, that was a horrible, hard thing to do. How much easier should it be for us to just forgive someone for
something
that's simple?
City of Chillicothe, I know you're angry at the police department. I know you're angry at the city officials, and you're angry at so many people. I want to apologize to all of our city officials, police department, and everybody for how our city has treated you. I want to apologize how the city has treated itself. And I'm asking that you learn to heal the wounds between this big divide and allow Christ to reign in our city again, because this needs to stop. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't stop, it's only going to get worse. You know, we need to be there for one another. And unfortunately, you know, I don't know if Chief Moore is going to, how much trouble he's going to get into, and he may not be the chief of police anymore. I don't know any of these things. I can't speculate how bad this is going to get. But regardless of what happens, I want you to forgive people. And I know that doesn't take away consequences for your actions, but it sure can heal a lot of wounds, because the last thing you need to do is make a city worse than what it already is, because we don't need that. You know, people in the medical field and veterans and police officers, city officials and firemen are the least amount of people who normally get thanked, and also IT people. No one thanks anybody. All you ever do is they know, if you work in the medical field, you know when someone's mad about their bill. When you're a police officer, you know when someone's mad, when something happens to you, and all these other things. So I'm asking you, wrapping it up in 5 seconds, serve one another. This has been Eternal Flame News. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, for JMC Live.